Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says this, "For you are a chosen people." Can you just turn around and slap somebody a high five and say, "Ah, you are chosen today." Mm-hmm. "You are a royal priesthood." Look at somebody, say, "You are royal." So you're chosen, you're royal, and you're holy. Turn around, look at somebody, "You are chosen, you are royal, and you are holy." All right, here's another one. "You are God's very special possession." Don't you love that? Look at somebody, say, "Special." You are special. Thought it was so funny. I heard Real Talk Kim preach the other day. She said she was all excited because she was involved in the special class in high school, special education. And the funny thing is I was too. And all through junior high and my freshman and sophomore year, I never took algebra. I just took consumer math, which y'all know about that, because I was a special possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. "For he called you out of the darkness and he called you into his marvelous light." Elder, would you do me a favor this morning? Just right where you're standing, could you just, I want you to pray over the sanctuary, pray over the message, that the ears would hear and that my mouth would communicate what God has for us.
Father, we just lift up the name of Jesus in this place, Lord. We've come here to hear a message from you. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon this sanctuary, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over this place, God. We release the Holy Spirit to move and do what he would do, wants to do in this place, God. I pray, God, that you bless every person here, God, that their hearts would be ready to hear the word that you have for us today, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. You may be seated in the house, Lord, but before you do, just reach over and tell somebody you are called to be different. You are called to be different. If you're sitting at home and you're with somebody around the television, around the computer, you should just look at them right now and tell them you are called to be different. Come on, help me out, church. Look at somebody, tell them you are called to be different. You are called to be different. Now here, if you read through 1 Peter in this portion of scripture, I'm a Bible guy. I'm a theology guy. I love doctrine. I think if you just shout but you have no doctrine, your salvation will be very shallow. But if you read through 1 and 2 Peter, there will be a motif of words that you say throughout the scripture. You'll see Peter preaching and talking about throughout the scripture. He uses words like calling, or call, or you have been called, calling, call. It's the most common words used in 1 Peter. And you have to remember, Peter was preaching to the first century church, a church that was facing extreme persecution. People were coming against them in a horrific way. They were being persecuted because they were misunderstood. And so they did not know how to respond because they really, in the depth of who they were, had not come into the realization quite yet of who they were. And I think a lot of church people and a lot of Christians, especially in the day in which we live, they don't know how to act, they don't know how to live, and they don't know how to respond because they don't really know who you are. I have learned in my walk with Jesus, once you learn who you are in Jesus, you have no problem realizing what you're supposed to do. You know what to do when you know who you are. Look at your neighbor and say that with me. You know what to do when you know who you are. I had the great opportunity of going to Bible College in Columbus, Ohio, under the amazing leadership of Pastor Rod Parsley, and I graduated in 99. Now it's called Valor Christian College. Back then, it was called World Harvest Bible College. Ring by spring, or your money back. And so it was an amazing college. It changed my life. It helped shape me as a preacher, gave me great theology, great doctrine. And while I was there, they had two main awards that they gave out to the student body, and at that time, there was hundreds of kids that went there. The first award was the President's Award. This is where Pastor Parsley would look throughout the student body and he would pick, hand select one student that he said, "This is the young man that receives the president, or young woman who receives the president's award, and it's because of his integrity, his character, and honor that he's displayed, and I've seen it as the founder of the school." But the second highest award was the Daniel Award. The Daniel Award was when the student body picked a student that they felt displayed integrity, character, and honor, and excellence, and there were There were three that were nominated. Then they took those three and they put them before the counselors, the professors, and the elders of the church and the student body. You have to remember at that time, you know, there's like 6,000 people that attended church services there at World Harvest Church. So it was like a big deal. And so I was at graduation in 1999 in May, and they stood behind the podium and they first gave the President's Award. And then they said, now the recipient of the Daniel Award has shown much character, shown much honor, shown that he is a mighty man of valor. And we want to call forth Brian Gallardo right now to receive this Daniel Award. And that's that award right there. Now here's what's crazy about that. I was so overwhelmed with emotion when I heard what I was called to receive. I was so joyous when I heard that I was the one hand-selected and called out of the whole class. What they were telling me was, I was called and I was different. I'm here to tell you today, when you realize who God has called you to be, you have no problem with living different. Look at your neighbor, say different. Look at someone behind you, say different. We are called to be, everybody shout the word, different. So when you know who you are, you will know what to do. There are three main callings that we see in 1 Peter. The first one is the eternal calling. We have all been called. The Bible said it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The Bible said in 2 Peter that God is not willing that any should perish. Now, I'm one of these preachers. I'm a little old school. I still believe that there's a real literal heaven and there's a real literal hell, and God wants you to go to heaven. I don't believe there's an in-between. I don't believe you can ever be good enough to get there. There's only one name given among men whereby you can get to heaven, and it's the name of, somebody shout, Jesus. So there's this eternal call in the Bible. Second one is an assignment call. Everyone say assignment call. An assignment call is what God has you doing in this current position that you're in right now. Now, when I graduated from World Harvest Bible College, Pastor Hart called me and he said, I want you to come and I want you to work alongside of me and I want you to be my youth pastor. Well, at that time I was 21 years old, and I asked God, where would you have me to go? I had this dream. It's kind of funny. In this dream, I saw the planet Earth, and I saw a little red dot in Omaha, Nebraska. And I saw this big old bobblehead of Pastor Hart. He had a big old bobblehead in my dream. He came up out of the city of Omaha, Nebraska, and I woke up and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, your destiny is tied to you working along with Pastor Hart, so go back to Omaha. So I went to Omaha and I worked with him for a decade, and I learned everything. I learned how to do graphic artwork. I learned how to edit websites. I led praise and worship with a guitar. I led praise and worship from a piano. Some of y'all don't know this about me. This is crazy. So Pastor Hart came to me on a Sunday after church. He said, do you know how to play the piano? I said, no, sir. He said, do you know how to sing? I said, only in the shower, and I don't do it in front of nobody. And he said, well, here, come here. I said, what? He said, here's three sheets of sheet music. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command you to learn to play the piano. Amen. He said, okay, go learn, because next Sunday you're going to lead praise and worship from the piano. I said, you're going to lead from the piano next Sunday, praise and worship. So I went to my grandma's house and said, Grandma, I don't know how to play the piano. Pastor Hart told me I have to do this, and I know you know how to play the piano. Can you please show me the chords on how to do this? And the long story short, that Sunday morning, I came to church, got on the platform, got behind a piano, and led praise and worship from the piano, and it was anointed and it was good. Why did you do that? Because that was my assignment for that season. That's what God was calling me to. And you can miss your moment and you can miss your season if you're not willing and obedient to do what God has called you to do. All right, the third type of calling here in 1 Peter. Is this all right today? The third type is our daily call. Everyone in this room has a daily call. We all have a daily call. You know what it is? It's to please the heart of the Father. It's in our standard. It's how we live on a daily basis. If you say, Pastor, I don't live any old way. I just do what I want to do. It's not about behavioral modification. It's, you know, I don't have to do anything. I'm all right. But if you fall in love with Jesus and you fall in love with His Word and you fall in love with His concept and you realize who you are in Jesus, it reflects in your daily life. Style. It's a daily call to please the Lord. What we do can be seen once we realize who we are. Come on now. So I like to go to Walmart I like to go to Target. I like to go to Frontier Justice. I like to eat at Subway, Gates Barbecue, any steakhouse pretty much for the most part. I'm a steak, potato, broccoli kind. That's my favorite meal. Steak, can I get a witness? Broccoli. Why are the good meals the most expensive, right? I love me a good T-bone or a good, I'm so hungry right now, I can eat two of them. I love me a good T-bone, a good filet mignon. I love a baked potato plain with ketchup on it. And I like some broccoli with some salt, some steamed broccoli, and swig it all down with some soda water. That's my favorite meal right there. If you want to capture my heart, you take me to Hereford House. If you want to capture my heart, you take me to Logan's. That's not there no more. That was my favorite restaurant. If you want to give me some steak and let Josh cook it, right? But if I go to a store and I buy me something that's worth $5 and I give them $5 and they give me back $4.20s in change because they misunderstood what I gave them, I'm not going to be like, oh, but that's going to my pocket because the Lord blessed me. The Lord done blessed his servant of the Lord with $80. No, I'm going to say, ma'am, sir, you gave me too much change. And they're going to say, why did you give this back? And you're going to respond, because it's who I am. And it got nothing to do with heaven and hell at this moment. It's got to do with what's my core conviction, because I've been in the Word of God, and I know that stealing is called sin, and it displeases the heart of God. Right? Yesterday, my wife and I were stuck at Chicago Midway Airport, and in the southwest terminals and airports, they have these really nice plush, because you know, like if you fly with Delta, you can get into they've got like a Delta Club where you pay like $300 a year, and they've got nice recliners up there, massage chairs up there. It's all you can eat, all you can drink. That they've got, it's like a restaurant, chill place, watch TV, living room type of place. Well, I ain't paying $300 a year to sit up there. And sorry, Delta. And but Southwest, they've got this thing in their terminals where they got these like recliner looking chairs with end tables in between them that have USB ports and plug in jacks for your devices. So my wife went to the Southwest terminal, and there at the Southwest, they were all them chairs were taken. It was a little kid watching an iPad, a young woman who was a kid's mama, and there was an empty chair. So my wife sat there, and I grabbed my laptop, and I'm standing up, you know, just typing away at my notes, thinking about meditating, having earphones in about this morning. And this lady, she said, "Sir, would you like to sit here? I can get up and move. You're working, and I can." I said, "Oh, absolutely not. That's never going to happen. And not and listen, because I'm a Christian. It's what I do. This is what I do now. I'm a gentleman. I want to reflect Jesus, and you're a lady, so you sit right there and you take the load off your feet. I'm a man. I reflect him. I know who I am in Jesus, so therefore I have to be kind to you because it's what I do." Come on, somebody. Listen, I'm a human being. You got to know who you be before you know what you do. You're not a human doing, you're a human being. So when you know who you are in Jesus, then you can reflect him and do. Preach, Pastor. I will. Called to be different. So these early first century Christians, they were being persecuted severely for three reasons. The first reason is they were being called superstitious. They are superstitious. They're magicians. They're making noises while the pastor's preaching with their phones. No, I'm just kidding. I heard Siri was about to talk. That must be an angel, Jesus. No, they were called superstitious. Those guys are all about the supernatural. They're all about some man walking on water, some man making dead people walk, some man making demons go into pigs and running down the hill and killing all these swine. They are weird. They are left field. They speak in tongues. They pray in the Holy Ghost. They believe in healing. They believe in them. They are super superstitious. They are naturally supernatural. You better watch out. And they were claiming Jesus to be the head magician. Prepare to be amazed. The second thing that they were being accused of is being incestuous. Incestuous means when a brother and a sister are together. Incestuous. Incest. And the reason why they were being called incestuous is because the early church was like, "You're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Let's get to church and just love. We're all the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord." Let me show you this. So my wife and I always tell her, "Good morning, sister in the Lord." She's like, I am not, nor will I ever be your sister in the Lord. I am your wife. See how weird that sounds? Like we're brothers and sisters in Jesus, whatever. I mean, we are, but we're married, so that's weird to say that. So the early church, everybody, hey, brother, hey, sister Rachel, hey, brother Chop, hey, brother John, hey, sister Leah, hey, brother, we're all brothers and sisters. And then a brother and sister in church, they fall in love and get married, and now it's like they're married brothers, and they're like, what's going on? Y'all incestuous. So the world was looking at the church like y'all are freaky and weird. But they took it a step further. They said, y'all are a bunch of cannibals. You're incestuous, you're superstitious, and now you're talking about drinking somebody's blood and eating their body. You're a bunch of cannibals. Take this and drinketh of it. For as oft as you do, you drink of my blood. I mean, really, can't you see how they thought they were crazy? Some of them are like, no, I can't see how that's crazy. So they were being severely persecuted. So Peter comes along and says, hey, guys, we are not of the world. We may be here as a portion or a part, but we are but foreigners passing through. So we must then respond to them who are persecuting us differently than they would respond to each other. He was saying when they mock you, you're not allowed to mock back. When they persecute you, you can't persecute them back. When they make fun of your beliefs, you can't make fun of them back. When they leave your church because you preach on holiness, that means you can't leave them. When they talk about you on social media, that means you can't talk about them. Peter is saying, guys, be encouraged, know who you are, so then you know what to do. You know, the hardest thing, and if you would be honest, you would agree with me, the hardest thing for all of us to do is to reflect the way Jesus does it. What would Jesus do? Like, really, that's the hardest thing to do. WWJD, come on. Really? That's the hardest thing to do. Let somebody punch you and offer them your other cheek as well. Are you serious? Because listen, if you punch me, it's gonna. I ain't offering you my other cheek. I'm just saying. I'll have Santos on speed dial and I'll call him. Well, I may not backslide, but he'll backslide for me and punch you. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, that's just carnal. You shouldn't say that. Just being honest. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. Watch. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary foreigners. Just our temporary home. All right, right, right. But Pastor, the world is getting crazy, but heaven is looking mighty fine. There's devils loose in this world, but there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Come on, somebody. Though none go with me, the old psalmist used to say, yet I will follow. What would it gain you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? I am heaven bound. I'm on the highway to holiness. I'm on the straight and narrow. I'm just a foreigner passing through. May not look like me. May not talk like me. May not get it. But I'm going to get to glory one day. Because I'm just a slap your neighbor, high five, and say, we just passing through. You are temporary. So keep away. Keep away. See, we got too much mingling in the world. Got too much mingling in the church. The Bible told us to keep away from it, to abstain from it. From worldly desires that do what? They wage war against our very souls. Be careful to live properly amongst unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing what is wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. We are to live a certain way for God. There is a standard, my friend. A lot of people won't come to church or serve God because what you do in front of them is louder than what you keep saying. You can say post this if you like Jesus, but you live like the devil. What you do matters more than what you say. When you know who you are, then you'll do what God called you to do. Somebody shout standard. Come on, shout again, standard. It ain't a cuss word, you know. It's what God has called us to. Standard. I'm called to do this because of who I am. So we don't just live by talking faith. We live by acting faith. We act this thing out. No, we don't always feel it. Come on, talk to me. Faith ain't got nothing to do with what you feel, because sometimes we don't feel it, we don't sense it, we don't hear it, we don't see it, but that's why it's called faith. Faith is believing in what you don't see, believing what you don't hear, believing what you don't feel. I might be sick in my body, but by his stripes I am healed. That's faith. I might be depressed, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's faith. I might feel like it ain't going to happen, but the Bible says, unto him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I can ask or think according to the power that we're going to, that's faith. Oh, preacher, I don't have no faith. You mean to tell me you believe in a Jesus who was born in an earthly manger and you weren't there? You believe in a God who walked on water and you weren't there? Who raised Lazarus from the dead? You weren't there. Died upon a cross? You weren't there. Raised 3 days later? You got more faith than you realize up in here. So we do because of who we are. Look at your neighbor and say, relationally, we do because of who we are. Do you know that when you're facing persecution like this early church was, your best defense against liars and haters is to throw a good offensive play? Huh? Your best defense is to have a good offense. Here at our church, at LifeGate Church, I don't defend myself on social media. I won't do it. I know that I preach what God gives me to preach, and I preach the word. That's what I know about me. I like to preach what the Bible says. It's not popular in today's culture, but I preach the Bible. I preach on holiness. I believe there's a real heaven. I believe there's a real hell. I believe there's only one way to get to heaven. I believe Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride. I still believe in the rapture of the church. 7 years of tribulation, a real heaven, a real hell, a real Lamb's Book of Life, a real Antichrist is coming. I believe the Bible. You know what I do with haters? I ignore them. That's what I do. I ignore haters. We've had people, Rob, get on Facebook, act like they went back to elementary school. Act like they went back to the nursery and hate on our church. Throw eggs and tomatoes on there about me. To the point where I had to tell our people, guys, I love you for trying to defend and go after them. Just let them talk their ignorance. We got to respond differently. We don't respond that way because of who we are. We are people of honor, so we don't respond that way. We are people of our word, so we don't respond that way. Because the haters gonna hate, hate, hate. All you got to do, listen, all you got to do is shake the haters off. You just got to let them go. You got to let their foolishness go. And some of you are trying to get to the next level and you feel like haters are bringing you down. I encourage you, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who despitefully use you. Bless them. Don't you curse them. Keep your integrity. Be still and watch God work. You'll do it if you know who you are. You'll do it if you know who you are. You'll do it if you know who you are. Look at your neighbor and say, you'll do it if you know who you are. You gotta shake them haters. Let the haters go. Let them. Vengeance is mine, says Gallardo. I mean, vengeance is mine, says God. Look at this. 1 Peter 2:15. It is God's will. Everybody else want to know what the will of God is? Here it is right here. It is God's will that your honorable lives silence the ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. If you want it to stir up more, open your mouth. If you want it to settle, shut your mouth and keep your integrity. I had a guy that I used to run with, him and a whole crew of people. It was back in my BC days when I wasn't living right and I was into a whole lot of none your business. And I was drinking none your business, hanging out with none your business, doing none your business, watching none your business. And when I had this encounter with Jesus in July 20th, 1995, at Lionheads Apartments in Omaha, Nebraska, and it rocked my world. And I told the Lord, God, I've got to completely disassociate with these people to remain victorious. Had nothing to do with me being better than them, being more holy than them. Had everything to do with I knew that I was weak, and if I stayed hanging around weak, I would be weak. Come on. So I completely cut myself off from them, and then the accusations began. You think you're more holy than us. You think you're better than us. Just last week, you was at the club drinking. You think you somebody, don't you? You really think, spiritual virginity? Yeah, right. We know what you did last summer. We know what you've really been into, Gallardo. You silly if you think people are going to follow you. Well, 20 years later, here I am. Still pursuing Jesus. Still running after God. Still believe the gospel is the only answer. We got an email into the office at the church. And the email said, hello, this is so-and-so. I used to run with the pastor way back in the day. He was one of the main people running his mouth about me back then. Here's what he said. I wish my life turned out like your pastor's did. I'm struggling, I'm broken, I'm a mess, and I wish I would have followed his footsteps. Could you please ask him to ask God to help me get through this? What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, if you will keep your integrity, those that are talking about you now will come back and say, man, whatever's in you, I've learned that that is the right way. I've got to have Jesus. But you do what you do when you know who you are. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Spirit. 1 Peter, look at this. 1 Peter 2:21. God called you to do what? Come on, 1 Peter 2:21. God called you to do what? Is that 1 Peter 2:21? Well, that's wrong, 1 Peter 2:21. I got scriptures mixed up. Can you find that one? It says, for God called you to do good. Is that up there? I'm sorry, Ben. That's my fault. Maybe that's 220 or no, maybe it's, okay. Well, actually, hold on. Nope, that's not right. That's my fault, that's a typo, I'm sorry. For God called you to do good. Everybody say to do good. Even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, you must follow his footsteps. Here's what I know about living for Jesus. Sometimes you're gonna suffer. Suffer what? Suffer persecution. Sometimes when you're serving Jesus, we've had people in our church that get radically saved and they feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit to never touch liquor again, which is good for you, to never touch it again. It don't do no good for nobody. Well, pass a little wine for that belly's sake. They have Tums now. You can buy them over the counter at any gas station. Alcohol ruins people's lives. Well, I just like to... Well, go get you some fermented grape juice in our communion cups downstairs. There's been sitting in a box a very long time. Man, them things are nasty, dear Lord. I believe with all my heart you should not appear worldly. I believe that, right? Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Getting liquor in you does not renew your mind. It makes you do things you would never do had you been in your right mind. Some of you introverted people get a little liquor in you, and all of a sudden you're like the playboy of the club. Every girl in the club wants to talk to you. Because you're like, what up, baby? Because you got the spirits in you. Because you got out of your mind. Huh? Come on, talk to me in here. Right? And so when you decide, I'm not going to touch that no more. And then you go to your family's house for Thanksgiving. Not my family's, because my family, they don't drink. But when you go to your family's house and everybody's having a little bit of bubbly, and you're like, oh, no, I'm good. Immediately like, what? You too good now to have some drinks with us? You miss holier than now, miss holier than now. What do you think? You ain't Jesus. He did turn it into wine, you know, the water, you know. Well, until he turns my water into wine, I ain't drinking it. I know this is popular today because in today, everybody drinks wine. It's like a cultural phenomenon. Did you try this new wine at the new winery? Did you try the new Holy Ghost at LifeGate Church? Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. You ever try some of that? I'm going to just start saying that. Have you tried some of the Holy Ghost drunk? Oh, I don't believe in all that. Well, then why are you sipping on the vine? Why don't you get off that vine and get on the real vine and get filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, Jesus. you make a standard, man, you're gonna make people mad. Okay, so I obey Jesus, right? So I was asked to come preach at this church. I don't think I've ever shared this story. I came to preach at this church, and I got up to the pulpit, and the Holy Ghost right here said privately, turn around, go over to the pastor, and tell him that I'm going to judge his situation if he don't repent and ask his son to forgive him. I said, I ain't saying that. He said, do you want me to bless today? Yes, sir. He said, go say it. I said, sir, not in the microphone. I was like, sir, see what had happened was, I was over there and the Lord said to tell you that, if you don't repent to your son because, oh, here's what it was. If you don't repent to your son who doesn't want anything to do with Jesus because how you treated him, then God's going to judge you. That's not something the Holy Ghost, don't believe me. Okay. And the Bible says, do you know that man became so angry, hateful to me, that I would have the audacity to tell him that he needs to make his relationship right with his son. My thing is this, if your relationship with your kid ain't right because of how you acted toward him, you probably shouldn't be preaching. Thank you for all the claps. Did I want to say that to him? No, but I do what I do because of who I am. And I knew I had to be obedient because I'm his son first, and it matters that I please him first, people second. You'll do what you do when you know who you are. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say different calling. All right, I'm on page 9 of 10. Here we go. 1 Peter 2:22 through 24. Is that right? All right, there we go. Y'all was totally confused, first and second service. Watch this. So when you read the Bible, you have to read it in context, right? So here Peter is saying, Jesus never sinned nor was deceived, nor deceived anybody. So what is he referring this deception and this sin to? He's talking about relational skills. Watch this. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. So when we retaliate when we're insulted, we're really operating out of emotional deception and sinning. In context. Nor did he threaten revenge. I'm going to come and get you. You better hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your mind. I'm going to find you. That's threatening deception. I'm coming for you. Man, he better be glad. He don't know who I am. I'm gonna come for you. I'm coming for you. I'm going to get Pookie and him, Uncle Ray Ray, and we come into your house. That's what's happening right now. Jesus is calling. Will you answer the call? It's a different call. He left his case in the hands of God. He didn't retaliate. He could have. I mean, come on. They was ripping the beard out of his face. Spitting in his face. I just spit on the floor. Did I do it? Rachel, you're the clean. I tell the clean team, I'm sorry. It's anointed. Slapped him in the face. Took a stick, punched him across his brow. His face was so swollen, his own mama couldn't even recognize him because of the contortion of his visage. But yet he didn't retaliate. He didn't make any threats. See, what we do is we go to knocking your mama jokes if somebody says anything about us that we don't like. Your mama so, you so, I'm coming for you. You better watch your back. I'm never coming back to church again because you talked about a subject I don't like. Threatening. I'm going to take my tithe elsewhere. Have you talked to Jesus about that? Because last I heard, you should be obedient to him, not me. Have you talked to Jesus about that? I'm just going to go down here where they let me be who I want to be. He personally carried our sin. Man, thank you, Jesus. In his body on the cross, so we can be dead to sin. What sin is he talking about, guys? He's talking about living a different call. He's talking about we can be dead to the sin of slander when people come against us. He's talking about being dead to retaliation when people come. You guys, if you're anything like me, it's hard for me to be quiet when I want to retaliate. Come on. It's hard for me to be still when people are running their mouth, trash talking, hating on our church, hating on you, hating on me. I want to drive up in their parking lot with a bullhorn and give them some choice words. But if we're going to be like Jesus, what would Jesus do? He would be still and be quiet and let God work his case. Isn't that hard? Come on, talk to me. I see some of you like, oh, Jesus, I don't know, man. I better get on the phone after church and repent and apologize because, you know, I've been saying some things, Jesus. Look what's normal to the world. In the world, they tell you, curse those who curse you. Right? Get back and get even when somebody hurts you. Somebody takes your promotion, go tattle on them to the boss because you've seen them take a paperclip from the storehouse. Right? Get even. Deceive those who deceive you. Threaten those who threaten you. Gossip about those who gossip. Inflict pain on those who inflict pain upon you. But guys, that's not what we are called to do as Christians. And if there's ever been a time where the church needs to really reflect Jesus, I mean, it's right now, guys. There's a devil loose in our generation. Like, if you can't see that, you are completely oblivious. What would cause a man to go shoot in Las Vegas out of a high-rise hotel down to innocent bystanders at a concert? It is the agenda of the devil. Let me just tell you right now. What would cause a deranged maniac to enter the crest of a door, come into a sanctuary, and let bullets fly? It's a devil. What would cause a man to go onto an elementary school and shoot up children? There is a devil loose. And the church needs to rise and do what we're supposed to do. But we can't because most Christians don't know who they are. Look at 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with what? A blessing. Several years ago, it was around the time my wife and I were getting together and about to be married. And somebody really crushed my spirit, my heart. I mean, really broke my heart. Someone I valued, trusted, loved. And I was about to retaliate and pick up the phone. And when I went to go pick up the phone, I heard the Holy Spirit say, it was a dumb phone, it wasn't a smart one. I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, right when I got about here, he said, give him $500. I said, that is a devil in this room talking to me right now. That is not the Holy Ghost. He said, give him $500. Bless those who are persecuting you. I was like, but God, I was the right one. They were the wrong ones. He said to me, it don't matter. It's in my hands. And you need him. I said, I don't need him. I don't want him. I don't want to do with him. And the Lord said, bless him with $500. I was like, Jesus, you do it, Lord. You do it. He said, no, you do it. So I wrote him a check, $500, put an envelope, send it to him. And God reconciled all that. We're friends to this day. He needs me and I need him. What would Jesus do? He wouldn't retaliate. He would bless those who persecuted him. You know what's funny? While they were beating Jesus, they did not realize that blood that was splattering all over them was blessing them. Because it was that same blood that could cleanse them, that cleansed us. With his mouth shut, while they were beating him, he was blessing them. Woo! What a Jesus. What a Jesus. The rest of this verse is this, that it was God that has called you to do, everybody say to do, and he will grant you his blessing. So we do when we know who we are. There was a gentleman who was on social media. He's got 30-some thousand authentic organic followers, and he was slamming me one day on his Twitter feed for the dumbest reasons. I wanted to call him and say, dude, what is your problem? But I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, just be still. I'll work it out. Don't worry about it. And pray blessings over him. I was like, blessings? Jesus, he's wrong. He knows he's wrong. He knows what he's doing is wrong. Why should I bless him? And Lord said, because you don't repay evil for evil. You have a different calling on your life. Come on, somebody. If you married folks could get this figured out, your marriage would be a whole lot better. So, Pastor, how do I know who I am? I'm so glad you asked. When I was in junior high and high school, I believe it was in high school. I can't remember, such a long time ago. I graduated in the mid-90s. And so I had a friend of mine, his name was Josh, And Josh had collected hall passes, and he collected them, illegally collected them. And so if we wanted to get out of class, he would give us a hall pass. So we could go roam the hallways and hang out in the school with the hall pass. And if we got caught in the hallway where we really weren't supposed to be, we'd say, Gallardo, what are you doing here? I got a hall pass. Okay, well, just check it on y'all. Go your way now. Right? Because we had the confidence to know that we had the written hall pass with us, that it was okay to be here because we knew who we were. Right? We were so cool. Zach Morris had nothing on us. And so today I wanted to put something together for you. We put these hall passes together for you. That would be a huge blessing and a huge help to you, because you may be in a place in your life where you're in the hall and you don't know what you're supposed to do. It's because you don't know who you are. Right? So who am I, Pastor? Well, this is just a few bullet points for you. This ain't all of them. This is just a few of them. But you need to, if you want to know who you are, you got to read the owner's manual. I felt like when we first had our child, my wife and I did not know what to do because we were never parents. I was like, where's the owner's manual? There's no owner's manual for Olivia. Like, how are we going to do this? How do you change a poopy diaper? Where's the owner's manual? There was no owner. We just had to figure it out, right? But God gave you an owner's manual. It's all about you. The Word of God is your owner's manual. It'll tell you how to do things in life when you know who you are in Jesus. All right? I want to read just a couple of these before we get out of here. I am God's child. According to John 1:2, not 1:12. No, that's not everybody. If you're not surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ, the Bible said you're of your father, the devil. That's what the Bible said. Not me. That's what the Bible says. Read the Gospels. That's a good pill to swallow. Who am I? I'm a child of God. Look at Romans 5:1. I have been justified. You know what justified means? If you mess up, ask God to forgive you, and it's cleansed under the blood, and the enemy comes talking in your ear, you have been justified. In other words, it's just as if I have never done it. That's pretty good. So when you know who you are, and the enemy comes talking in your ear, oh, you did that last week. No, it's under the blood, you fool. I'm justified. Oh, I'm sorry, says the devil. Okay, here's another one. Look at this right here. Drop down here to 1 John 5:18. Some of y'all need to memorize this scripture. I am born of God and the devil cannot touch me. Woo! Because greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Behold, I give unto you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, overcome all the power of the devil. Nothing by any means shall harm you. Oh, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll kick the devil out. So when the devil starts talking to you, and you know who you are, not here, devil. Not today, devil. Not today. Why? Because I'm born of God. He's my daddy, and I'm his baby. And ain't no good daddy lets a thief and a robber in to hurt the babies. So you better back off, you lying wonder, because I am born of God and I'm a child of God. I'm daddy's favorite. He loves me. He'll fight for me. He'll defend me. So you better just watch your P's and Q's, devil. How do you know to do that? Because I know who I am. I don't let the devil talk to me all night. The devil is a lie. No, not at the Glardo house. You ain't talking to me all night. Nope. You don't have permission in my house. You ain't got permission in my bedroom. You ain't got permission to sit at my table. You ain't got permission to come through the doorway. No, not at the Glardo house. Not today, devil. Nope. That's my stuff. That's God's stuff. It belongs to him. You ain't attacking it. I am God's child, and you ain't going to touch it. You know what to do when you know who you are.